Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio this happy Halloween day. How are all of you out there in quilt land? I'm just so excited to have a Halloween show. It's a lot of fun. So, you know, I'm going to ask my guests today if they've made Halloween quilts. You know, we have to know this stuff about everybody. So I'm Pat Sloan, and I have got one guest on the first half, and then I have a team of guests on the second half of the show today. So first up, I've got Bonnie Hunter, who is the queen of scrap quilts. Absolutely fabulous quilter. Her site is Quiltville, and I'm sure many of you are big fans of Bonnie's. And Bonnie and I are getting ready to go teach on a cruise together. How exciting is that? So, Bonnie, are you ready?
I am here. How are you?
I am so good. I'm really excited.
Well, it's so good to hear your voice. You know, I've been sitting here the last few minutes waiting for the phone to connect, and they put on this hold music, and it was playing disco. Like, I was made for loving you, baby. You were made for loving me, and I'm rocking in my chair. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's a good way to start a show out with a little rock and roll.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
so, Bonnie,
I love Halloween. Yeah.
I know. Have you made a Halloween quilt?
I have. You know, I haven't made any current ones recently, but I was in a guild challenge a few years back, mm-hmm. and they gave us a half a yard of this Halloween print that was really kind of almost non-Halloween because it was kind of blue and it had all these other things going on, and we had to have our quilts made in secret, and then for the Halloween guild meeting, we all revealed them, and it was a contest. I didn't win, but I still love my quilt. So it comes out every October 1st, and I keep it out through the whole month.
So is it a big quilt? Because I know you like to make big quilts. Is that
It's not lap size because it's square, but it does go on my dining room table. And then I have some stuffed quilted pumpkins that I picked up in Tennessee that I put on as kind of a table centerpiece. It's just fun. I know I have a reputation of doing really big quilts. It's to help me clear out the scraps a lot faster, but it's still like shoveling out a leaky boat.
So. I know. There's more scraps come in. Some go out. Some come in.
So, yeah.
Now, I thought we would have a lot of fun today talking about, you know, a little bit here in this segment about teaching and classes and traveling to take classes you know, quilting on the road, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, you do a lot of travel in your job now that this teaching is your full-time job. So, you know, you fly a lot of places, and are you taking your machine with you?
Sometimes I do. I have a small little featherweight that fits in. I have this Rick Steves carry-on little rolling tote, and the featherweight will fit in the front of the tote. My laptop goes in the back of the tote, and it fits underneath the seat on the plane. I do take it with me, and I like to make as much use of my time as I can. So I will completely kit up a project at home, cut out all my half square triangles. I have everything counted and labeled, and in, you know, what did we ever do without Ziploc bags? Everything's in Ziploc bags. So I don't have to cut in the hotel room. I can just sit and sew. But I sure pity the maid who has to come clean up after me with all the thread and the dog ears and everything else.
So you're actually spending time in the evening sewing when you're teaching?
Yes, I am. I am in my hotel rooms, or as I was just in Maryland, I stayed at a lady's house, and she's a long armer, and so she had two long arm machines in there and space for me to set up a cutting table, and I used that time while I was there in the evening. She's working on her stuff, and I'm working on mine, and it was almost like a mini retreat. You know, you're strangers when you go into somebody's home, but they take you right in, and all you need to know is that they're quilters too, and pretty soon you're just like you've always been friends. It's just one of the best things about being a traveling itinerant quilter that there is.
You're a very people person, aren't you, Bonnie?
Yeah, I am. I'm a very people person.
I know you. I think I collapse after I teach. You know, I have to have that downtime. But you're like go. You just make it all happen. You use every bit of your time, don't you?
I do, but when I sleep hard, and I be sure to get that good 8 hours that I need. In fact, at the retreat that I was teaching at in Maine this past weekend, I was still sleeping, and yet I could hear people up at 6, 6.30 in the morning, 7 in the morning, and their machines are going, but I'm pushing my sleep till 7.30. So you need that, either at one end of the spectrum or the other.
That's right. You got to recharge those batteries. Yeah, I saw that retreat in Maine. Let me talk about that a second, because I was just looking at on your site, because this was one of the things you actually taught the same group for several days rather than just giving one class.
Yeah.
How did that work?
Well, it was kind of interesting. We did two classes that were going at the same time, and they both started at the same time. So I kind of, everybody in this class, raise your hand so I know where you are, because they're sitting with their friends and things. And everybody in the other class. And I told the other group just to kind of hang back for about 15 minutes so that I could get one group started. And then that group was off sewing their strips and checking their seam allowance. And while they were doing that, I did a demo for the other group and got them going. So it was kind of like, juggling ping pong balls for a while.
Yeah.
But then, since we were there from Thursday afternoon, we had Friday, Saturday, and we sewed until noon on Sunday.
Wow.
After a couple days, they didn't need me as much anymore. So they knew what they were doing. And some people finished their whole tops kind of 4 days. Yeah. So they were powerful.
Sewing.
Yeah. Ooh. It was great. It was great to do that.
I have a question about, flying, since you fly and like to sew on the plane also.
Yes. I'm notorious for that.
Excuse me.
Yeah, bless you.
What exactly do you have to be aware of for that?
When you are flying, the rules have changed. I remember when 9/11 happened and they wouldn't even allow little old ladies with knitting needles on. But things have relaxed quite a bit. In my sewing kit, I have a pair of scissors that have blades that are no longer than an inch. And I think you can go a little bit longer than that. But these are strong enough, good, sharp enough that I can cut thread or even snip off a dog ear if I had to with them, but they're not really good expensive scissors. I think they were $3 or something.
And you don't want to take anything like your really, expensive little snips or anything, because they could be confiscated if they're not aware of the rules.
If they're not aware of the rules, and you have new TSA guys and stuff like that. So cheap pair of scissors, make sure they'll do the job. I know a lot of people like that pendant thing. For me, it just leaves frayed ends on the thread, and then I have to get out the needle threader, and I'm licking the thread trying to get it through. So it's just better to have scissors.
Yeah.
And, needles are no problems, but carry enough because you might lose some as you're sewing, and it's impossible with how close the seats are to get your head down there to go pick a needle up off the floor. So whoops on that. The one funny thing that I've had that TSA has kind of pulled me aside and checked me on is I was taking a bunch of rulers for a class up in Alaska, and I had Tri-Rex rulers and companion angles and easy angles, and they were all in my carry-on because my other checked luggage was overweight. So those sharp, clear acrylic rulers really set off the alarms, and they didn't steal the scissors or the rotary cutter or whatever, but the acrylic rulers, they just had to know what that was.
Yeah, they always, I take a lot of, I like to take jewelry with me to wear, and so I carry that, and it's always this big ball of stuff that they can't identify. It's like a bunch of chains and things in the bag, and they always have to look at that closely.
Exactly.
Necklaces.
It is, and so I scale my luggage down. I don't fly with my purse and my suitcase. I just take my wallet and the most essential stuff I need, and then that just goes in the rolling tote laptop bag, and I pack my empty purse in with my checked luggage, because they only want you to have, one carry-on, one personal item, and so, just for ease of traveling. But you can do it if you kit your stuff up before you go and pack small and don't take the expensive scissors, and just know that if they confiscate them, you can get another pair for $3 down the road.
Yeah, that's a really good point about just packaging it up, too, so that everything is there and you know what it is, because the plane seats are very tiny, and to try to deal with anything of any bulk is would be impossible.
Right.
So I have a question. When people, what is one or two tips you have for people coming to take classes? Because we both taught so many classes. We know what makes a student prepared. What are one or two things that you can advise people?
First of all, read through the pattern ahead of time if you have a chance. You know, that's one thing. And with several of my classes, my instructions are online, and the class supply lists are online. So definitely read through this class supply list and read through the pattern. Some people like to make a test block before they come. And I always have my students do a seam test on their machine when we first get to class, because if they're bringing a small machine that just, you know, comes out of the closet for three workshops a year because their big beast is in a cabinet at home, it won't have the same seam allowance. So one thing that you can do is bring a patch that you have sewn at home, like maybe a pair of squares together or a set of half square triangles. Sew that on your home machine and bring it with you, and you can use that seam on that unit to set your seam on your travel machine. And that's what I had to do this weekend.
Yeah, and also just test the darn machine to be sure it works before you come.
Yes.
It sounds basic, but...
Remember your cords, remember your bobbin case, remember to take your walking foot off and put your quarter-inch foot on. Yeah, and when you're coming to class, I think it's best to almost bring more stuff than you think you're going to need.
Oh, yeah.
Just because,
I tell people all the time, bring more than you need, especially fabric, because you and I both teach classes usually without kits. So people are bringing their own fabric, and I can't stress enough to bring enough, because you're more happy if you have choices.
Right, right. So if it's something you're driving to, then that's good. You can plan to bring on some more. But like for the what we're doing for our cruises that's coming up, we've got some kits for that. I've got a partial kit for mine, and then they're bringing some fabric and some strips to swap with each other. So that'll help build up some variety in their fabrics and their colors and make it fun, because they'll have a memory from the other cruisers with them.
Oh, that'll be really cool. I wish I was taking your class. I'll be teaching.
Oh, yeah, we'll be both busy, but I'll see you at dinner.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, before we take a break, Jennifer Keltner, the editor of American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine, she did a quilting cruise and wrote about it for the issue that's out right now. So that's really fun for people who haven't done that before to go in and read about her experience. And guess what? It was a Civil War cruise, Bonnie.
Are you serious? Oh, I would have loved that.
Yeah,
they didn't have to dress in Civil War, though, did they?
No. Oh, no. I think they wore shorts.
Okay.
Yeah. But the teachers were all people who specialize in Civil War type projects.
Right.
So,
nice.
A couple of the storytellers. And so they had a lot of fun with that. The other thing before we take a break is I want to tell people to be sure they go and read up about an instructor before they take a class. So, you know, read our blog.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to take a little break. Yeah, we'll take a little break and we'll be right back with Bonnie Hunter of Quiltville. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. This is Pat Sloan, and I'm here with Bonnie Hunter of Quiltville.com. So, Bonnie, do you have a story, something unique, wonderful, funny, memorable that's happened on one of your trips to share with us?
Oh, I'd have to pick which trip that it was, but I would like to start with my trip to Alaska in September. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know where Cordova is, but it's kind of down on the coast, and the only way that you can get in is to fly mm-hmm. or to come across the water. Mm-hmm. And you know how we email back and forth with quilters, and we think we kind of know who they are and whatever, mm-hmm. but really we're just strangers with quilting in common. Well, it turns out that the lady who was in charge of this was just returning from her, I think it was her father-in-law's funeral, mm-hmm. and she actually met up with me at the Seattle airport, and we flew all the way from Seattle to Anchorage together, and then from Anchorage to Cordova together, and here I was so stressed out over this flight, and there was this little quilt angel just to take me all the way in. It was just wonderful, and that whole guild just is so close-knit, and they just pitched in to give me something fun to do every day that we weren't teaching, or mm-hmm. The day before the evening lecture, I had one gal and her husband take me out on a fishing boat to go halibut fishing. It was incredible, and, you know, the getting out and meeting the ladies in the group, mm-hmm. to me, quilting is more about relationships than what we do, and it's about building relationships, and we all love our quilts and our projects and our fabric and our machines. But really what it does is put us in touch with so many fabulous people that we wouldn't have met otherwise. And it forever changes me every time that these people open up their towns and their homes and their guilds to welcome me in as if I were just one of the group. Sometimes I think I really learn more from them than they ever do from me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it is just a wonderful experience to have for you and I to be able to have a job that we can go out and meet people where they live and hang out and get to know them. And they are always nice. Always, always, always. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
It's just a real gift.
It is. I just totally love it. So let's talk about your books Yes, I would love you to talk about your books. You have three published books now, right?
Yes, there's three published, and the fourth one, I'm working on my manuscript right now. I've got a early February deadline. The photography is in early February, so we're down to the wire. I'm really excited. After we get back from our cruise, I am off until New Year's Eve, and so I've got a lot to happen in that 6 weeks. The book should be out itself. We're hoping for July, early August, so be watching for that.
So let's just talk about the concept of your books, because your books are not just purely a pattern book. I mean, you started out writing your books, I think Scraps and Shirt Tails is your first one, right?
Scraps and Shirt Tails was the first one, yes. And I've been working with recycled fabric since early on in my sewing days. Mm-hmm. And it was just a way for me to, the whole going green thing really appealed to me. And I love working with repurposed fabrics, but also with that comes a love of using every small piece that comes my way. You know that it's really bad when you can't vacuum the floor and suck up that 2-inch square. You have to turn the vacuum off to save it because it just might go somewhere. So after Scraps and Shirt Tails 1, I did Adventures with Leaders and Enders. And mm-hmm. that book was all about using small pieces of fabric as in pairs, whether it was a pair of squares or triangles or whatever mm-hmm. it is, kind of as those thread buddies that we would use at the end and the beginning of our chain of piecing. You can build 4 patches, 9 patches, half square triangles, rail fence blocks, whatever it is, crumb blocks, in between the lines of piecing other things. And then those become the parts for your next project. And I really enjoyed doing that.
I think it's become something that a lot of people are really looking at because it makes so much sense.
Yeah, well, thread's expensive. And even if we're using that little thread-covered little thread buddy thing or tail mm-hmm. or mouse, we call them Mäuslers or something like that when I was in Germany. And if you get that little piece still covered up with thread, where does that thread end up? It yeah. still goes in the trash. And we yeah. want to use good thread, and I love the Aurifil thread. And I want that to last on my bobbins mm-hmm. as long as possible, and I want most of it in a quilt, not in the right. trash can on a thread bunny. So right. it just works.
And then you put out, you know, your third book has just recently come out this year, right?
Yeah. It was out in this in February, so almost a year, yeah. and it's Wraps and Shirt Tales too. So, you know, when we, as fabric collectors, you start collecting for one thing that you are just so intrigued with, and the whole recycled yes. fabric thing. I have more shirts, 100% cotton shirts to cut up than I could ever use in my lifetime. So people were writing, when's the next one, you need to do a yeah. sequel, and so I did. And I included a lot of regular scraps from the scrap stash, as well as using the uh-huh. recycled fabrics to pull it all together in that one. And my pieces got smaller, and the piecing got more intense. So now people are afraid of what the fourth book will be, because I really love small pieces.
So what kind of tips do you have for people using small pieces? Is it, you know, is there something that they can do to make it less scary?
Absolutely, there is something you can do. Having your random scraps cut into usable sizes means that they're going to take up less space, mm-hmm. and they're organized by size and by, I separate into two categories, so I have neutrals and I have colors. Mm-hmm. So if I were having a box of 2.5-inch squares, I could put, even if I only had a small box, I could put a cardboard divider down the center, put my neutrals on one side, my colors on the other, and they're all there and ready to go, so I'm ready to sew. I would much rather have the, if I have 15 minutes to a half hour to 45 minutes to an hour to sew, mm-hmm. I want those pieces ready to go through the machine. I don't want to have to stand there at the ironing board and then cut everything right. down and take up half of my productive time.
Right.
So if you can tackle those small scraps, the smallest ones I save are 1.5-inch squares.
Oh, my gosh.
And those are perfect for leaders and enders because, well, they only use that much thread, and it's sufficient yeah. to get the job done.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. So what kind of tip do you have? What do you have for people who want to use your system of keeping this and keeping them cut and keeping them yeah. organized, but they don't have a large place to yeah. store it?
Because yeah.
that's sort
now,
my of my
house,
problem.
My house is not really big either. I live in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. The one thing I have that is my saving grace is I have a basement, mm-hmm. and it's kind of divided in two halves. My sewing room is on one half, and the other half is like the mudroom side. Mm-hmm. But it helps. And so I use space under tables to have stackable drawers and things like that. I know one lady put 2 bookshelves back to back and mm-hmm. or with a little space in between, and so she right. had her bookshelves here, and then in between she had her bins of fabric, and she put her big top ironing board cover on top of that.
Okay.
So she was
yeah.
using that for storage space. Storage is one of those things, and you know, it's really, especially for us fabric collectors who just love it all, mm-hmm. if the container is full, you need yeah. to make something from it. If it won't shed anymore, why are you still saving? So always be on the lookout for things that will use the things that you've got cut down. The
yeah.
possibilities are out there. The magazines are full of wonderful ideas. Sometimes tile walls on a bathroom stall will say, oh, yeah, I could do that with those squares. That would be really cool for a border. And
That's where we need our camera. Take
yeah.
a picture, or your cell phone. Take a picture of those things.
So, yes, I do. Well, oh, my phone goes everywhere. But
yeah,
that's why
yeah.
I call it scrap users instead of scrap savers, because it
right.
can get out of control, and we don't need to be the Imelda Marcos of fabric hoarders. we need to use it. The fabric is much better preserved in a quilt than it is on a shelf, because I know as
right.
soon as I'm 6 feet under, that dumpster
yeah.
truck's coming up to my back door. So, yeah. So use
yeah, you have
it.
To
Just
have
the,
somebody come into your house to check it out before that. No dumpsters.
That's right.
So tell me a little bit about your blog, because you have a great following, and you're very chatty on your blog, and you are so generous to share a lot of what you're doing. So tell people a couple things that you do on your blog.
I share everything on my blog. You know, and it
you really do.
Out to be, It started out to be a blog with my girlfriend Tanya and I. She was just moving to Egypt, and we wanted a way to communicate with each other and share our projects. So this is what I did on my whatever today. And you know well how the internet goes. People find it, and then they start reading it, and then they start commenting. And the first time I got comments from strangers, I was like, oh my gosh, they're reading me. And I just, the biggest thing I write about is just what's going on in my life. Mm-hmm. I want people to know that, yeah, I have kids, and kids have trouble. And yes, I have, you know, my dog, and the dog gets sick. Or look at this wonderful heart-shaped rock I found on my walk today. I just want to share it, and mostly because I love going back over the past 6 years that I've blogged and seeing where my life has taken me. Really.
Yeah, it is a journal, isn't it? It's just an online journal.
Yeah, so I am welcoming people into my life. When people read my blog, they're a visitor in my world, not the other way around. So, you know, I feel free to pretty much say it like it is. And if I'm ticked about something, I'll say it. And then 2 days later, I'll come back and apologize. And it's just been wonderful. But my whole premise is keep it real. Not everybody can be happy all the time. But the one thing I know about blogging is because I am looking for cool things to post about every day, it keeps my focus on really positive things, and that has enriched my life so much. Today I went out and took pictures of all of the leaves that have fallen on my driveway that are now all rain-laden and soggy, and my husband's all upset because he can't blow them with the leaf blower.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are the little moments of life that keep it real.
It's true. It's true. And I do think that you just said it perfectly. You start looking at life a little differently when you blog, because you want to share things, you want to enjoy things, and you want to have something fun to talk about.
Yeah, and it really is, because we get so much yuck stuff through the news and the media and whatever. And everybody says, why does the news report on the happy stuff? Well, I think that's our job. We can report on the happy stuff. Oh, look at this cute little pincushion. It just makes my day. You know, look what my mom made. Oh, my mom's been bitten by the hexagon bug, and she sent me some neat pictures of what she's working on. So that's going to be a future blog post. And everything that happens as you're driving up the road, oh, that's a blog post.
Right. Exactly. I'm constantly seeing things. Well, Bonnie, this has been incredible fun. I just am so happy to be able to talk to you today, and I'll be seeing you again in a few weeks.
I am so excited.
We will
be catching. Hello.
Yeah. I think somebody's getting a call.
I think so.
That's okay. We'll tell people to come visit you at quiltville.com.
Would love it.
Okay. Thanks, Bonnie.
We'll
Bonnie
talk to
Hunter.
You later. See you soon, Pat.
Okay. Bye-bye. Back after the break to American Patchwork and
Choose
Quilting Radio.
100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter. Designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. You know, isn't Bonnie Hunter just awesome? I'm just so excited that I'm going to be hanging out with her for a whole week in the very, very near future, like a couple of weeks. So, you know, if you want to go out and visit Bonnie on her site at quiltville.com. So we've got another two guests coming on now that, you know, I just have to tell you first that I really love talking to people in the quilt industry who are in the same family, you know, families working together, whether they're sisters, mother, daughters, husband, wives. I just think it's really fascinating because I myself work with my husband. So my husband Greg and I run my business. And so it's really, you know, neat for me to go out and, you know, talk to people who do the same kind of thing. So what I have is I have some gals that are coming on that are sisters, and they work together in their company called Gingham Girls. And so Ann Weber and Joanne Rowicki have been both quilters for a very long time, and I know them both quite well because Ann is local here, and she's a good friend of mine and has been quilting and actually was one of my students way back when. So welcome, Ann and Joanne. How are you?
Very good. How are you today, Pat?
I'm awesome, Ann. How are you, Joanne?
Fine, thank you.
Oh, it's good to hear you. I haven't seen you in so long.
I know.
You're out there, out in Wisconsin, right?
Wisconsin, that's correct.
Yes, yes. And Ann's here in Virginia, where I am, although not at my house. We probably should have done that, Ann. You could have come over.
Oh, yeah, we could have done that. That would have been nice.
You could have sat in front of me. We both could have talked into this microphone. I'm not sure how that would work exactly, but may have been a little nutty. So first I have to tell everybody that Ann and I are like, you know, like we're bonded by blood, I think, now. Because, you know, Ann had one of those little rotary cutting incidences when we first met, which is basically like the very first time I ever met her in a workshop. And I got to take her to the emergency room and call her husband and all this good stuff. So, you know, we became fast and furious friends after that. And Joanne, I got to meet later when Ann introduced me to her. So, who's been quilting longer, Ann or Joanne?
Well, I think it's Ann.
Oh, no, you think it's Ann? I was going to say you, Joanne.
I think my first quilt top in 1977.
So,
way before Ann, but then I probably didn't quilt for 10 years until 10 years later. Mm-hmm. And that quilt is. Top is still not quilted.
Oh, no. You're a true quilter, Joanne. So who sort of got the bigger bite? Ann, did you just sort of start going crazy with the quilting and then
It was just before my daughter was born. I think early in the 90s. I've always sewn growing up. Always, you know, started out making doll clothes when I was, you know, young, and then kind of moved to making clothes for myself, and that didn't always work out, so I kind of, you know, lost interest in making garments and stuff like that. And then, you know, got married in the first home and started, you know, doing some home deck sewing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I made a small little quilt that was in a decorating magazine, and I thought, oh, that was fun. I like doing that. And it was shortly after that I started taking classes, and, of course, one of those classes with you, Pat, where the we met and bonded, and it was just, you know, classes and teaching, taking classes from other people and buying lots and lots of books and kind of learning that way.
Just getting excited about it, because you're quite an avid quilter, Ann. You really...
Just trying everything, just trying all the techniques, and you know, some of them you find you like, and some of them you really don't care for at all, and kind of finding which of all the quilting styles out there suits myself the best, and that would be probably piecing and appliqué and putting them together.
And so is Joanne. Joanne, you also love piecing and appliqué together.
Yes, I do. Yes, I think there's nothing better than having a piece background with some great appliqué on top of it.
I know. When you see just a piece quilt, do you just like want to go stick appliqué on it? you know, I just, you know.
Well, sometimes if it's a very, if there's the spaces, because there's some piece quilts that are done because they're very intricate and they have a lot of things going
yes,
on.
Yes, that's true.
But those piece quilts that have those, like, blank spots, those, you know, a lot of hand quilters or people that like to do a lot of heavy quilting think, well, those are the best spots to show off my quilting. And I think, well, those are the best places to show off the applique.
Okay, right. So, Joanne, tell me, when you guys started, you know, thought about starting the business together, whose idea was it for the name Gingham Girls? It's so cute.
Oh, well, that probably took a year. And we finally, you know, after about a year of coming up with names, we'd make lists of names, and then we'd talk on the phone, and we'd share the list of names, and it was no, 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 no. And finally, we sat down together and said, okay, if we don't come up with a name soon or today, that's it. We're not going to do this.
Soon or today, right?
Yes.
We just, you know, a lot of them, we didn't want to be too similar to somebody else. And I think we were kind of stuck on the thing of using our name somehow. And Joanne and Anne and the large fabric store chain, Joanne's, it just doesn't work very well. So we're like, okay, well, we can't use our name, so... What do you do then? So we were kind of like, oh, that was tough. And then we kind of, you know, we're wanting to do something with sisters, but there's a lot of that use out there, too. So we're like, well, we don't want to do that either. So we were kind of like, well, we'll just go out there, and I guess we were kind of playing with things and kind of like, okay, well, we're girls. Young girls seem, you know, like fun and energetic and trying to tie it with something else. And we're like, oh, well, what about Gingham? We can be the Gingham Girls. And then we always love that pattern of fabric, and we could use that, you know, try to put a little piece of that in each of our quilt, kind of our signature thing.
And, so you're actually putting gingham in your quilts then?
Yes, we actually try to. Sometimes it's a little bit and sometimes a lot. You know, sometimes gingham works well in a quilt in a large amount, and sometimes you just can find a little bit, because though we both have large collections of gingham, sometimes there's just not the right color that works with what you're working on.
Sometimes
it's kind of an extra little, sometimes it's really fun to work it in, and sometimes it's a real struggle.
Sometimes so now, today is Halloween. Let me ask this. I forgot to ask you when I first got you on here. Do you guys each have a Halloween quilt? Joanne, do you have a Halloween quilt?
Oh, absolutely. I think I have several.
What are they like?
I have a lot of small wall hangings, but I did make the Buggy Barn jack-o'-lantern quilt a couple years ago. So I have that one. So just kind of a couple fun quilts.
And Halloween colors are sort of your forte, aren't they? The warm, toasty.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, you have that color palette. And, I mean, you are generally more of a cottagey, light, bright color palette.
Yeah, I'm more of a spring-summer kind of drawn to the spring-summer colors. I do have one Halloween quilt, and it was, you know, fabric that I got during a swap, a Halloween fabric swap. And I made your one of your designs with the crazy log cabin where you novelty print in the center, and you kind of put the logs on each side of the novelty print and kind of end up with a wonky, tilted kind of block. That is my truly only Halloween quilt. And I kind of tend to do the fall side of the year, the pumpkins rather than the jack-o'-lanterns. I'm kind of do that. That way I feel like I get a little bit longer life out of the decorating season.
Well, that's true. That's true. When you deal with fall, you can leave it through Thanksgiving, you know, and you get more bang for your decorating buck.
That's kind of the way I've always thought. I'm like, the Halloween quilts are just so much fun, though. They are just so much fun.
So, you know, with your business, I'm always fascinated because you two don't live near each other. You're like, you know, half a country away, and I'm sure you don't, you know, just run and meet halfway too often. So, you know, Joanne, do you guys both have a duty within the company that's, you know, job duty separation?
We do. We do. I take care of the financial part of it. Mm-hmm. And I always tell Anne she's in charge of creativity. She does all the a lot of the online work, you know, our website, and she does our blog. And so we've kind of divided it up that way, and then we both work with doing mailing and shipping and things like that from our respective locations.
And I know that when you've done booths, you know, one of you will bring whoever's closer because you've driven like your booth decorations. Don't you like split whoever was closer had to bring all the decorations.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's what we've done.
Yeah, so we've done it so far. We haven't had to travel too far across the country, so that has worked out well for us.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice separation of duty. So when people go out to your website, ginghamgirls.biz, you're a .biz site, they can look at your style because you don't make quilts together. You make individual quilts and then you publish under the same name, right?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. So Joanne, describe like one or two of your quilts. You know, what's going on with your style of quilt?
Well, I tend to be a little bit like warmer type colors, and you know, once in a while, I'll kind of dabble in some of the things that Anne does, and it's fun and it's interesting when I do that, and I'm like, ooh, what am I doing here? But
there's no brown.
Yes, and I was like, wow, you know. So you have to experiment. I feel like you have to experiment in a lot of different areas, but I tend to keep gravitating back to the Civil War type fabrics. Mm-hmm. So I'll have a lot of piece quilts and try to do some traditional quilting and maybe put a little twist on the tradition.
Mm-hmm. And your work is just beautiful, Joanne. I've seen it in person and it's lovely, lovely work.
Thank you.
So, Anne, describe how yours is different from Joanne's.
Well, I kind of work in, like I mentioned before, like the spring, summer colors, a little, I wouldn't call bright, but a little bit more color to them, kind of a
clear
colors. Yeah, clear colors. And I love to do the patchwork, the piecing background, but keeping it on the simple side so that you can overlay an interesting applique design on top of that to kind of just kind of pull the layers together and give it kind of some dimension as well as some added interest behind your applique.
Some work for American Patchwork and Quilting. You have a piece in the 2011, the current calendar.
Yeah, the current calendar. I'm in the month of August. It's a quilt called Wallflowers. That was a lot of fun to make. It's just big, happy flowers that are kind of winding up from the ground and just, you know, just perfect for a summer day. They just, you know, it just says, oh, the perfect summer day, flowers out in my backyard there. However, very large scale.
Very large scale, yes. And then people can also go to allpeoplequilt.com and put in Ann Weber. And you have a quilt called Citrus. And people can pick that one up and take a look at it.
Yeah, Citrus was a fun quilt. Originally in the magazine, it was done in, you know, the citrus colors, the limes and lemons and orange colors with the black spacing. And online, they've kind of done it using novelty prints for children. So it makes a fun, real fun crib lap kind of quilt for a young one. And it goes together very easily.
Well, we're going to take a little break, girls, and we'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Win free stuff! Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm talking to quilting sisters, the Gingham girls, Ann Weber and Joanne Rowicki. So I want to talk to you about, like sewing spaces and storage and stuff like that. So Joanne, what is your sewing area like at home?
Well, I have a nice quilt studio on the second floor of our home, and mm-hmm. it has a huge window, arched window, and a cathedral ceiling. So I've got lots of space, lots of good light, and I have two closets that have double doors that I can open up, and I store part of my stash in there in the current project. The overflow
part of your stash
is in the lower level of the home.
So you have two spaces, really.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. That indicates that I have an excess amount of supplies.
Now, you are a very, very sort of structured person, Joanne. I mean, as far as, you know, you like order and whatnot, from what I remember. And so, you know, how do you store your fabric? Is it really nice and tidy?
Oh, yes. I have, when I get fabric, it all has to be folded the same way, whether it's a fat quarter or it's a half yard. You know, I have fat quarters have a certain dimension they have to be in. The half yards and the yards are a certain way. And when I get them home from the quilt store, I never like the way they fold them, so I have to refold everything. And then I organize that on my shelves by colors. Mm-hmm. And then the overflows of the things I wonder why I bought are all in plastic bins that are all labeled with colors or style.
Oh, okay. So you do actually put, when you do style, what makes something a style?
Like if it's I have a few bins of patriotic, and I might have 30s and things like that, Smithsonian, et cetera.
Okay, so now you have a little bit of a story about your storage bins, don't you?
Oh, yes. One day my son, that was several years ago, he walked into my sewing room and he looked around and he said, "Mother, do you have any idea of how much money you have invested in plastic?" And I just thought, plastic? I don't think that's the issue. But he had no idea. He just thought the plastic was probably more valuable than my fabric.
Oh, so silly boy.
I always remember that story.
So, and I know that you, it's been a little while now, but you went through the process of actually moving your studio from one floor of your house to the other floor of the house. What kind of things made you decide to do that? And what did you have to take into consideration? Because your two spaces were really a different shape.
Yeah, the two spaces completely different. The first space was down the lower level of our house, the finished space down there. And I had a large space, and it was very nice, and I sewed down there comfortably for years. Mm-hmm. But I kept.
And your daughter could come down there too, because you had a lot of area.
When she was young, because the other area was open, so I could sew and watch her as she played, and if we were watching, the movie could be playing in the same room, or just a friend. My daughter could have friends over, so we could all be kind of playing in one room together. But as you sew, you create a lot of, I guess, some mess or chaos and stuff like in your area as you're creating stuff. So I kind of always felt like I had to keep tidy over there, and kind of that people would be walking through my space. And sometimes it's not always convenient to clean up as you're working. So I kept, we had a extra room on the upper level of our home, and I kept eyeing that. We'd always wanted to make that into an office, and I kept thinking, I think that would make a better sewing room or sewing studio. It's a smaller space, which was the one downside, but you know, everything right. else was positive. It had, you know, nice windows that, you know, mm-hmm. gave me the natural lighting to come in to the sewing space, a lot more mm-hmm. natural lighting. The view out the windows is just, you know, a very happy, you know, kind of positive, mm-hmm. you know, thing as far as putting you in a happy mood for sewing. I could close the door as I'm working. If
yes.
I'm working on something, you can close the door. And you don't have to, you know, worry about cleaning up. You can just
right.
let it go, and then when you come in there, you can just pick up right away where you've stopped. You don't have to, okay, well, I put this away, and where was I?
Yeah.
So I had to sacrifice the space, so it's a smaller space. So like Joanne, I have most of my fabric, well, half of my fabric. Let's just say half of my fabric
yeah.
up there. And it's mostly the current stuff, the things that I'm using, I guess, the way my interests are today, as
right.
everybody's interests kind of change. You buy fabric, and then you kind of, you know, make a few quilts with that, and then you move on to the next
mm-hmm.
kind
mm-hmm.
of that thing. So I have a lot of, like, Joanne, would be reproduction fabrics, some 30s fabrics, novelty prints, and maybe, like, larger cuts of fabric that I would use for backing and the batting
yeah.
and stuff like that stored elsewhere.
So are you as quite as tidy with your fabric storage as Joanne?
I'm pretty tidy, but I don't think I'm as tidy. I think I still, you know, it's pretty stacked, and, you know, depending
uh-huh.
on the size, I can tell how much it is just kind of by the way it's folded. And
mm-hmm.
and a lot of that's because that's the maximum way I can use my storage space. If you fold mm-hmm. it like this, it seems like it fills up the whole thing without leaving, you know, little pockets of space.
I'm right.
maximizing. And that way you can tell, well, if I'm looking for a piece of fabric, I know that's at least a yard, so I'm not going to mm-hmm. be pulling something out and fall in love with it and it's not enough fabric for the project.
Ah, that always makes me crazy when that happens.
Where you're like, oh, this is the perfect fabric, but it's just not enough. And then I'm like, okay, well, I could use this and then another one that's kind of, maybe not as perfect, but if you mix it up, maybe nobody will notice.
That's right. Makes a better quilt. So
yeah,
let's talk about tools for a minute, because I believe Joanne is the tool queen.
Yeah, she's the tool girl.
So what's your favorite tool?
Oh, I think I own every gadget out there, or at least I've tried them.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of fun. And, you know, some have been good purchases, some not so good purchases.
Yeah.
But
what's a goodie that you're, you know, like a go-to that maybe most people might not have that you think they should?
Oh, I think everybody needs to own the Clover Bias Tape Maker.
Yeah.
I think that's a real must-have, and I'm always surprised when somebody doesn't know that exists and they're mm-hmm. trying to fold that bias by hand. So
oh,
I think
yeah.
that's always nice to have. And, of course, you know, I probably have almost every ruler out there. And then sometimes I find out I have two of the same ruler, and I'm not sure
yeah.
how that happens, but I'm sure everybody does that.
Yeah.
But I like the shape cut rulers when you're doing some strips and some piecing, things like that, so you have some accurate measurements. And, you know, of course, Roxanne's glue, and Fonz and Porter has that neat little seam ripper that's on the red stand.
Oh, you like
so,
that one?
Oh, I love it. And after, when you're chain piecing,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just go and pop it and just go through those chain pieces so quickly. So
right.
Lots of neat tools out there.
Cool. So, Anne, you're an appliqueer. What are your, you know, top? What's your top tool or two for applique?
Well, my favorite things, and Joanne mentioned a few of them, is the bias tape maker.
Mm-hmm.
The Clover bias tape maker makes wonderful vines very simply. And
are you using the half and the quarter inch for your work?
I use the half, the quarter inch, and I also have a 3/8. And I think 3/8 is probably my favorite. Because
the
half seems a little bit large, and the quarter seems a little
That's
narrow.
Tiny.
You know,
yeah.
it's tiny because my applique shapes tend to be a larger,
mm-hmm.
and the quarter is just seems too tiny in scale with my shapes.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for some reason, I'm drawn to the 3/8, but probably 3/8 and a half. And,
yeah.
of course, you have to have the glue basted. It.
Yeah.
Hold part, you know, your items in place until you get them stitched
mm-hmm.
down, whether you know, because I like to do both hand and machine work.
Mm-hmm.
And probably all the Mylar circles out there.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole lot of different products now.
There's a whole lot of different products. There's a lot of products out there, and I have quite a few of them, but for making circles. They're the perfect easy way to make circles. And one of my other favorites for applique is probably just the freezer paper. It's not very exciting, but it's, you know, one of the most useful things that I keep going back to. It's always in the studio, and I use it for a lot of different things, drafting even pieces. When I'm doing piecing too, I'll draft some on there, and then you can kind of play with that with the fabric.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of line it up to see, you know, especially if you're trying to on some of the more the fabrics with if you're going to fussy cut it, you can kind of play with that visually to get an idea how to make your cut.
Yeah, it's very nice to be able to lay something out without actually cutting your fabric first, you know, with the shapes. That's a good point.
Yeah, because you can kind of use that with the stickiness. You can kind of iron it in place and see, okay, well, if I did that, even though it's covering up your fabric, you can kind of get an idea of how much it's going to, you know, take the space it's going to take.
Right, right. Cool. So let's talk about guilds here. We just have a little bit of time left. I think you guys are, I'm not sure if I got this right, somebody's working on a guild project. Is it Joanne that you have a pretty interesting one you're working on?
Our guild, which is the Darting Needles Quilt Guild in Appleton, Wisconsin, is celebrating their 30th anniversary next year.
Ooh, and congratulations.
And so that's quite a milestone for them, and they're very excited and trying to think of special ways to celebrate that. And one of the things we're going to be doing is doing a mystery quilt and having a 30s theme to that quilt, whether it's, you know, they use the 30 fabrics, or we're going to be having a quilt with 30 blocks in it, or 30 of some kind of a design in it to celebrate their 30-year anniversary. So Anne's partnering up with me, and we're kind of working on that together. So
How fun!
We're excited to kick off their 30th anniversary in January with them.
Oh, so it'd be this January you're going to start it.
2012, correct, yeah.
Neat. And Anne, you've done this for our local guild here. You've done sort of a month by month for them in the past.
Yeah, month by month, we our group guild, Quilters Unlimited, the Reston chapter is the quilt group that I belong to. And a few years ago now, I designed a quilt, Reston, which is how it got its name, because being part of the Reston Quilters group, it was designed as you do a block or several blocks each month. And by the end of the year, you put all your blocks together and you end up with the quilt. So it's kind of like a progression of difficulty as you completed the quilt at the end of the 7 month, I think it was.
And you have pictures of that on your website,
yes,
binghamgirls.biz, and it's on your show and tell page, right?
Yes, it's on the show and tell, and we ended up publishing the pattern for that as well, because there was a lot of interest and questions about it. So we do have the pattern available for that. And it's a really fun quilt, and a lot of people have changed it up and made it in different fabrics, and it's just wonderful to see.
Well, you girls, this has been awesome to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Well, and thank you, Pat, for having us.
Oh, so
everybody needs. Yeah, it is fun. I can't wait. I'll see Anne sooner than I'll see Joanne, but, you know, I'll see you soon, I'm sure, hopefully. Everybody go out and visit Anne Weber and Joanne Rowicki at ginghamgirls.com. This has been Pat Sloan for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Visit us at allpeoplequilt.com for tips, free patterns, and more. See you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.